TK Vision Beats.
It's the film by Excel.
TK Vision Beats. TDK Vision Beats.
It's the Block Report. The year is 2022. And we're here. We're ready. We're ready to get busy. We're ready to go ahead and deliver this thing to you not like it needs to be done. We got a lot going on. There's a lot on the table. Some of y'all may have been missing my voice, missing my presence. Well, you shouldn't have been missing my presence because obviously, I have tons and tons of episodes of content that you guys could review and go over. Just an update, I am your host, Tafari XL, and this is the Block Report Podcast, being brought to you by TDK Visions Beats and the good folks over there that do their thing. Now, also, let me get into something, just bring some things out here. I've been working on several different projects. I have some content that is out there right now. An instrumental EP and a couple instrumental albums. You can find them on Spotify under the name Tafari. Then put a space XL, right? And you can find them on Spotify, on Apple, and all of the major and not so major streaming platforms: Amazon Music, Pandora, iHeartRadio, wherever you like to go and find your music. Generally, you put in a search for Tafari XL, and the music will pop up there. The latest project I put out is the Blue Tape. It's an EP with several instrumental pieces on there that I hope you will enjoy. So go check that stuff out. You know, I'm not really trying to do no hard sell or be anything or anything like that with it, but I just want to go ahead and get that information out to you guys right now. So like I said, it's 2022 is the year, and we got a lot of stuff to get into, and we got a lot of housekeeping and things to be done and take care of some business out here. So we got some of that stuff out the way as far as letting you know about the projects and the works that's been going on. I got some other projects and things that I'm working on as well. And we're going to be making some different moves as far as how we distribute our media and different types of media that we do. But we're going to keep the Block Report Podcast here on this channel and this location. If you've been listening to the Block Report Podcast, you'll still be able to hear it in the same places where you've been hearing it before. That should not change. I just want to thank all the people that have been tuning in and listening. I've been noticing that some of the content that I've been doing, that there has been that I have published and put out there, that there has been a rise in interest, and the interest has grown even as I've had, I haven't been publishing as much. So that's very good to see. Now, what we want to get into, my people, there's a lot of stuff that's to get into. And don't get me wrong, let me just say this clearly. I could have talked about a lot of things in 2021, but I was really busy and I had other projects I was doing, and I didn't want to address anything. I don't want to address things just for the sake of addressing things when there's probably other media and people out there that have already addressed it. If I can't really put my touch on it, my thumb on it, and my imprint, and make it really like you're getting it from an authentic original source, then I don't really like touching it. And I don't want to just keep rattling off things that everybody's already talked about. You know, I like to go ahead and express my viewpoint and where I'm coming from, and share that with you guys. So I don't want to sound like I'm regurgitating or giving the same talking points or the same information that you may have received from other people. However, I do want to make sure that I keep bringing you the content from my perspective and viewpoint. Hopefully you do appreciate it and you'll continue appreciating it. And this will encourage me, of course, and I'll make sure to keep growing and making it better for you with your encouragement. Now, want to get into a story here. We're going to get into a few stories tonight. Excuse me. Some that hit closer to home, some that a little farther away. However, I want to touch on a few things here. So we're going to start a little bit away. We're going to start with this one story here. It happened out in Pennsylvania. And then I'm going to bring it to New York, which is a little bit closer home. But we're going to start with this story out in Pennsylvania. And story about a Jamaican immigrant who was shot and killed during a hunting trip with so-called friends. And we're going to get into the article. I read a few articles on this incident already. However, I wanted to particularly check out this one from that was done on Black Enterprise. And so you may hear me do additional commentary in between because I'm already privy to the case. Maybe some of you are, maybe some of you aren't. So, okay, so Black Enterprise starts here. Black residents and organizations in Pittsburgh are calling for an arrest after Jamaican immigrant Peter Spencer was shot and killed in western Pennsylvania this month. The case has drawn suspicion after he went hunting with several white men and never returned. The Black Political Empowerment Project, BPEP, is demanding answers after Spencer was shot several times and killed last week. WTAE reported that a 25-year-old man was taken into custody and multiple guns were found at his residence, but he was not charged with Spencer's murder. According to police, Spencer was found shot in Rockland Township in the early morning hours of December 12th. So far, police have only released an initial report, but have not released any information on the subject or motive. Now, this article has been came out about a month ago, and people have been writing about this case for as far back as my research shown. At least about a week, maybe 2 weeks. But if it happened on December 12th, we're talking about going on over 3 weeks. And there is no arrest. And they have not released any information on the suspect or motive. Steven said this morning of Spencer's death, his fiance dropped him off to go hunting with a man he'd visited in the past and several other white men. Stevens added Spencer's girlfriend didn't feel comfortable with him going. Less than a day later, the fiance went to pick him up and he was dead. Stevens said the man taken into custody claimed self-defense. The BPEP called the self-defense excuse unacceptable and offensive and is now calling for justice, and Spencer's family has set up a GoFundMe for funeral expenses. The situation is similar to Tamla Horsford, who mysteriously died on a camping trip with 7 white females and 3 white men she considered friends in 2019. I heard of this story. I heard of that incident as well. Horsford, I'm probably pronouncing that name terribly wrong. It's H spelled H-O-R-S-F-O-R-D, Horsford. A 40-year-old black mother of 5 was the only black person to go on the trip. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation initially closed the case, and Forsyth County District Attorney Penny Penn declined to press charges. Wait, this is what we got to deal with right here. How do you end up dead in the presence and around a group of people and no arrests, no charges, violent deaths, clearly seen that it was a violent death, how you died, but no arrests or charges. I mean, what's going on here? I'm sure some of you can already tell what's going on. Because the dynamic, what we have to do is we have to all we have to do is look at what's the common denominator here. One black person around a bunch of white folks. Now, Penny Penn declined to press charges, but a Rolling Stone investigation detailed police mistakes. Really, you think? Offensive social media posts, questionable friendships, and an uproar about the case during the Black Lives Matter movement led to the case being reopened, as it should. Okay, so they linked the case of Mr. Spencer, the latest victim of this white violence against a black person, with the violence that happened to Miss Horsford. And the thing is, you can't just be going around nobody, especially camping trips, out to the water, hunting trips, but you as a black person, just all around by yourself with some white folks. I don't recommend that. So, and obviously from these incidents here, you see the outcome. So Mr. Spencer, who was a Jamaican immigrant, decided it was okay to go to this cabin with these folks. Now, this article left out certain pieces of information. Several other articles that I read stated that one of the guys was a friend of Mr. Peter Spencer. Apparently, his fiance, excuse me, who was also pregnant with his child, she says. So there goes a child without a father now. And she stated that the so-called friend was a coworker. Now, in the incident, it appears that the coworker or so-called friend invited him for a trip, but may not have made him aware of the fact that he was going to have additional people there. Because apparently he also invited three or four other white men. One story said three white men and his girlfriend. One story said it was four other white men. So, but here's the situation. Two things you don't do and get yourself mixed up in as a black person. White folks with a lot of alcohol or drugs around and guns around. I was telling a story, and I'm going to give a story about a scenario and an incident which could have turned out worse, but it started with something simple as a bunch of guys who was together around drinking, eating, and whatever, and doing whatever. Some guys may have been doing, some guys may have been smoking some pot, some weed, and others, who know what they were doing. You can't know what everybody's doing. And the idea comes up, yeah, let's go in the woods over there, and let's go fire some shots. Well, one person came back with a shot in the behind because they went out in the dark and they doing things. Certain things you just don't do around other people. You exclude yourself from those activities. And the first rule that you must maintain and do is to make sure that you are safe and that you return home. You do everything in your power to make sure you're safe and that you return home. So, unfortunately, Mr. Peter Spencer met such a violent ending to his life, because they didn't also mention In this article, it didn't give all the full details. He also received the, he was found shot 9 times. 6 times in the chest. I mean, 6 shots in the chest. What were you doing? I mean, 6 shots and one revolver. That's a whole end of a revolver pistol. You emptied that out. 6 shots in the chest. Were you thinking that it was some sort of gun range practice? 2 shots in the buttock, in his buttocks, and 1 shot that they say they're not sure if he took it in the mouth or went through the neck, in and out through the back or whatever. But to me, what that sounds like, those locations of those shots sound like an execution, a very angry execution style shooting. So beware, because to be aware is to be alive. Okay, guys, look, listen. That's the first story we have on deck right now. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a short ad break. And then we'll be right back with more reports from the block. Okay, thank you guys for sticking around with me here on the Block Report podcast. Now we're gonna take our reports here to New York City. New York City has had a lot going on outside of just the pandemic and dealing with stuff like that. Recently had a mayoral election. Currently in New York City, the previous mayor, Bill de Blasio, put some mandates out here that people need to be vaccinated. I think New York City is the only city in the United States that has a vaccine mandate that's going on. But these reports that we're going to get to here are not about the vaccine. These reports we're going to get to here is about the regime change in New York City, or apparent regime change, which is not much of a change, because I believe de Blasio, one thing, let me say before I get into that, I believe Democrats and Republicans are the same thing. One just got a D in front of their name, the other one just has an R. And the Democrats, the Democrats are just a silent partner to the Republicans, and they just pretend and act like they have some sort of opposition, but they're not in opposition to the Republicans. That's my opinion. That's how I see it. So I don't need you to try to go ahead and I don't need anyone to debate me, or I'm not looking for a debate for you to convince me or prove to me otherwise. You can save your breath when it comes to that. Now, the what we have here is NYC Mayor-elect Eric Adams, why we need stop and frisk policing. Now, stop and frisk was basically already proven. Other people have spoken on this, but I'm going to speak on it because I actually lived through it. Stop and frisk was already proven to be not stopping any crime. And all it did was prove that the New York City Police Department, all they were doing was spending their time stopping and harassing young black people, most of the time black, and they added Latinos in there as well. So basically they were hyper focused on stopping young black and Latino men mostly. And in specific neighborhoods, because at the time, if you do the information and do the research, I believe even back in 2007, it was still stated around 2007, 2008, when I was doing research and looking into these things, it was stated that I think about either somewhere around 70 to 90% of the people that got sent to go upstate to jail came from 5 or 7 neighborhoods in New York City. And you can guess which neighborhoods those were. They definitely weren't the neighborhoods. They were obviously neighborhoods where it was a high concentration of Black and Latino and poor people, and definitely Black people there. Now, when they did the population of the jails, I think it was something like 85. They would always lump the numbers. They keep lumping the numbers, but you could find out the numbers and break it down. But the population would be 85% Black and Latino, right? So now, being that I've been in New York City a long time, I'm very familiar with certain statistics and things that happen in New York City, and especially a lot of these injustices with these police killings, and that we're watching them get away with it. So these issues are close to home. But now what we're going to do is we're going to focus in on he's not a police officer anymore, supposedly. But he just gives those vibes, this mayor-elect Eric Adams, that basically he's not a threat to the establishment, so he's just going to go ahead and be the Black face up there that they use to go ahead and try to reestablish their same so-called law and order type of ways, which was just trying to keep their boot on the neck of Black people. Now, let me see here. Let me get into the article, though. This article is here from Police One. It says, in a recent opinion piece for the New York Daily News, Mayor Eric Adams defended the policing procedure known as stop and frisk. The piece was published Saturday, just days after two NYPD officers were shot while questioning a subject. Adams upheld the incident as an example of why stop and frisk is necessary. How does that make sense? They were questioning a so-called suspect, and they need stop and frisk for that. You don't need a system-wide program if they was questioning questioning a suspect. You could have just said, "Oh, do you have any weapons on you? Empty your pockets so we know that you don't have any weapons on you, so that we could feel safe." You don't need a stop and frisk for that. But okay. That's him trying to justify it. Because that's what they'll do. What they like to do is they like to take one incident and justify and use that as justification to institute and bring in their BS. So, yes, yet there are some in our city who would say these officers should never have confronted the suspect, that he never should have been stopped and questioned, Adams wrote. He probably should have never been stopped. We don't know. What was the reason they stopped him? You didn't get into that. So I didn't even get to that point, but I'm just saying, if you stopped him and he was a suspect, we don't know if he was a suspect. He could have just been somebody minding his business and you guys decided to stop him. We don't know. Adams, a former NYPD cop himself, was criticized for supporting. I don't know the full story, so I won't get into it like that as far as what happened with that individual, but it's not stated here as far in this article. So I can't be responsible for the research, every little thing that this person says. I got a lot of stuff to do, but what I'm just saying is it's not clarified here in this article. So since it's not clarified, we don't know. Until there's somebody bring forth clarification to understand what incident this particular was, then we can know. I'm sure we can, it can be found somewhere, but I'm not going down that rabbit hole now. We're going to focus on this article right here. So Adams, a former NYPD cop himself, was criticized for supporting the police policy during his run for mayor earlier this year. According to the Daily News, Adams defended his position, saying that the policy could reduce crime when used appropriately. Now, they've already had the policy, and it was shown that it didn't reduce any crime. It didn't stop any crime. The only crime, sometimes the only crime that was committed was the police officers trying to plant stuff on individuals. I was continually pressed on my position on the policing procedure known as stop and frisk, which is actually in law enforcement known as stop, question, and frisk. And why I believe that, if used properly, it could reduce crime without infringing on personal liberties and human rights, Adams wrote in the op-ed. According to Adams, the question is about how, not if, stop and frisk should be implemented. The question should not be whether or not police are allowed to confront suspects. How do they know they're a suspect? Nobody, if they're a suspect, I don't think anyone's talking about that. You can't be a suspect unless you, all right, look, stop and frisk, they basically stopped anybody that was on the street. He's saying confront suspects. A random person on the street cannot, you're relating stopping anyone on the street you see that you can claim fits the description, that it's okay to stop them. But you're talking about it as suspects. I don't think anyone would be at all in uproar or arms about if you were stopping suspects, clearly vetted out suspects, people that you had already suspicion of committing a crime because there was some sort of probable cause or evidence for you to believe, and not just some hunch, or not some just where you're just randomly grabbing anybody with a black jacket on, or a particular hat on, or their clothes looking a certain kind of way. You gotta watch these people. It should be about how we train them, he continued. The question should not be whether we have police, it should be how we use them. Well, we're just going to throw out the whole fact that the FBI said that the police have basically been inculcated, infiltrated, inebriated, inundated with a flood of of white supremacists. So, but we're not gonna say that, you know, we're not looking at that though. We're not trying to fix that issue. We're not addressing that. Eric Adams is not addressing the issue of Daniel Pantaleo or any of these police officers that have wrongfully taken the life of individuals out in the streets. No, he's not addressing that. He sounds like he's he sounds like he's Patrick Lynch's friend, that police union guy over there. That rabid racist. But anyway, let's continue with the article. Adams maintained that it's an essential tool when done right. As American courts have affirmed over many years, stop, question, and frisk is a perfectly legal, appropriate, and constitutional tool when used smartly, he said. As a former officer and lifelong New Yorker, I also know personally how dangerous our streets can be. Yeah, because the police beat you over your head before one time. And then you came outside and said, yeah, I'm going to be a cop. Well, that's what New York's mayor has got in store for New York. Then we have... He's brought in a commissioner of police, and this commissioner of police, her name is Keychan L. Sewell. According to things, she took office first of the year, replaced the previous commissioner, Dermot Shea. Excuse me, guys. And Sewell was raised in Long Island City neighborhood of Queens at the Queensbridge houses, including Queensbridge houses. She lived in the Queens neighborhoods of Corona and Jamaica. In October 97, Sewell became a police officer assigned to Nassau County Police Department 5th Precinct. Fifth Precinct, really. Sewell was eventually promoted through the ranks to become the commanding officer of the 7th Precinct, and then by 2016, commanding officer of the Major Case Squad. In 2008, Sewell had attended the FBI National Academy, and other assignments included the Professional Standards Bureau, Internal Affairs, and training with the FBI to be the county's chief hostage negotiator. On September 24, 2020, Sewell was promoted to NCPD, that's Nassau County PD's Chief of Detectives, commanding a staff of approximately 350 officers. Sewell was also a member of the New York, New Jersey Joint Terrorism Task Force. On December 14, 2021, it was announced that Sewell would be appointed as the 45th New York City Police Commissioner by Mayor-elect Eric Adams. She will become the first female commissioner of the New York Police Department and its third black commissioner. She will oversee 35,000 uniformed officers and 18,000 civilians. On January 1, 2022, Sewell was officially sworn in as first female commissioner of the New York Police Department since it was founded 176 years beforehand. So, Ms. Keychance Sewell is the new commissioner, and she has said that she's in favor of the stop and frisk, or also known as the broken windows policy, claiming it's for quality of life and such, and all of this stuff. So that's what we have to look forward to with dealing with these guys. But so there's, you know, when the people were out in the streets protesting over the summer of 2020 and time, and the police were ramming their vehicles into the people, they, you know, I mean, it just goes to show you that, it seems that the police are on a real stint, or what's the term I'm trying to say? They want to take a stance to kind of reverse the clock because of those protests, and try to reclaim some sort of dominance and force. They're claiming that it's so much crime and crime is so high. The thing is that if you got the actual numbers, crime is not as high, and others have reported on this, and you can get the reports yourself. But the thing is, what they will do is that they will increase it or create numbers to scare the masses, because the people were saying defund the police, and they don't want you to defund the police. So what the police will do is also instigate and initiate crimes. People have already known about this, where they have informants on the streets that they allow to do crimes or send out to commit and do crimes. So, let's see here. I was looking to see. All right, that's weekly. That's the weekly crime statistics. Let's see if I could get a crime statistics report for 2021. And we can read off some of the numbers here. And then, all right. Okay. All right, so this is one of the reports. This is in October. This is the November. This came out in November, but this was for October. And okay, they have a lot. I'm trying to just get to the statistics, and they are showing me a lot of other stuff. Get the latest on the COVID-19 vaccine, and they have their own thing. Okay, that's not what I'm looking for. Here we go. Statistics for October 2021. So for the month of October 2021, the number of murders and shooting incidents continued to decline in New York City compared to last year. Murder decreased by 9.8%, 37 versus 41, compared to last year, which was 2020, and that was when we had all those protests going on. While shooting incidents decreased by 4.4%, there were 382 gun arrests for the month of October 2021, bringing the total number of gun arrests in 2021 to 3808, a 13.9 increase compared to 3343 gun arrests year to date in 2020. Well, they must have, you know, it's a 13% increase in the gun arrests, but murders are down. Shooting incidents are down, but they rounded up the guns. Overall index crime in New York City increased by 11.2. Overall index crime, it means all kinds of crimes, but the really violent crimes with the guns, we just heard those numbers. 11.2% in October 2021 compared with October 2020. While burglary saw a 13.7% decrease for October 2021, robbery increased by 15.8%, and felonious assault increased by 13.8%. Through October, overall index crime year to date has increased by 1.3% compared to 2020. So there are some violent crimes going on. You have some robberies, burglary, but as far as murders or gun shooting, that's not really going on like that. The reduction in shootings and homicides during 2021, October 2021, continues a trend that has been carrying over from the summer of 2021. And coincides with the NYPD's ongoing work to build multiple long-term cases with its law enforcement partners with the focus on the drivers of violence. So they say in one breath that crime is down, and then the other breath they're telling you that crime is up. So it depends on how they want to spend those numbers. All right. Now, I've been on here a while, but I had a lot of information to go ahead and drop and give to you guys. And being that I'm seeing that, you know, that there's some things going on in the city, and there's some things that people are going to have to be ready for and be prepared for. All right. Because for one, they have the vaccine mandate. So what they're looking to do, this vaccine mandate and other things that are coincide, can either have you without a job, and you don't have no job or whatever, you don't have anything going on, then they want stop and frisk to be added in. So they're going to need people to, you know, it's probably going to increase. They're going to try to find some way to increase the activity in the courts and in the jails, and then, you know, and try to make their dollar that way. And then Eric Adams and them can run up there and say that they were tough on crime and get a pat on the head from the Democratic Party and their donors. So we have also here, remember we talked about Governor Cuomo and his debacle and situation that was going on with him, and as you may have seen and noticed, it was quite interesting. We brought up the scenario and said that it had been said or insinuated that it's a possibility that this was a political hit job on Andrew Cuomo. What's so interesting, Andrew Cuomo, the DA, I believe this was the, let me see which kind of DA, they decided not to charge him. First, Letitia James, the attorney general, came out with all these charges and this big hoopla. And then, to me, she made a crucial mistake. She came out and said that she was going to run for governor. It just goes to show where her intentions were led. But if you know anything about New York politics, especially in the governorship, basically, quite a few governors have made it to the office of governor by the office of attorney general. And then at times, I believe there has even been those that have prosecuted the sitting governor to get them out of there so that they could get into position. So that's like a hot potato seat. And they know once they get into the attorney general's position that basically they're almost like a half step away from the governorship, because they're basically the city's top lawyer. The city and the state's top lawyer. So they know that they're only that position. Usually you have a good chance of propelling your political aspirations to governorship through that office. All right, so I'm going to read this to you from The Hill. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office is closing its probe into former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's handling of nursing home deaths during the early days of the coronavirus. So he apparently, let's see what's going on though. This is the first time I'm looking at this, and I'm sharing it with you guys. But I heard some stories on what's going on with Governor Cuomo. Okay, nursing home deaths during the early days of the coronavirus pandemic, an attorney for Cuomo said Monday. Elkin Abramowitz, a former high-ranking federal prosecutor who was hired by Cuomo while he was still in office, said there would be no charges. I hired this guy, no charges on me. Good. you see what's going on here, guys. I was contacted today by the head of the elder care unit from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, who informed me they have closed its investigation involving the executive chamber and nursing homes. I was told that after a thorough investigation, as we have said all along, there was no evidence to suggest that any laws were broken, Abramowitz said in a statement. A spokesperson for the Manhattan District Attorney did not immediately respond to a request for comment. An investigation by the New York Attorney General found that Cuomo's administration undercounted coronavirus-related deaths at nursing homes by as much as 50%. A separate investigation by the New York Assembly also recently concluded that Cuomo's administration represented data on COVID-19 nursing home deaths. New York counted only residents who died on nursing home property and did not include those who were transferred to hospitals. But according to the report, most of the deaths occurred in hospitals. Cuomo announced his resignation in August after the New York State Attorney General's office released a report detailing numerous allegations of sexual harassment from multiple women. Cuomo has denied the allegations. So, looks like that case is still going on, but they dropped the charges on the nursing home situation. Nursing home. All right. So, and Letitia James has also withdrawn her bid for the governorship. And they probably told her, the Democratic Party, they probably told her, listen, you're getting too ambitious. Sit down for a second. And she didn't, and not only that, she doesn't really have the support. She doesn't have support in the city like that. And I know she don't have no support in the state like that. Most of those counties up there in the state, ain't nobody up there that look like her. So she don't really have the support to go ahead and try to make that run. She was trying to make some support by signal boosting that Stop Asian Hate and some other nonsense she's on, and maybe some and supporting other issues, you know. So anyway, guys, so that's what's going on right now. We're about to cap this one and close this one off. This is the first report from the Block Report podcast of the year 2022. And of course, we look forward to bringing more reports and more commentary and insight to you. At least the type that comes from myself and my mind. So if you appreciate it, then I appreciate if you share the program. If you show support on some of the streaming platforms that the program is on, that would be great. And I'm going to get up out of here. Also, let me, before I go though, you can find the Block Report podcast on Twitter at the Block Report. Wait, are we on Twitter? Well, I think I have a page there, but if you don't find me there, you know I have my page at TafariXL on Twitter. I post it there, but really haven't seen much action on my Block Report podcast page. So you probably might not go there, but you can go there. But where you can hit me up at is the Block Report Podcast at gmail.com. And you can also find the podcast on Spotify, Apple, Overcast, Amazon. You know what I'm saying? It's all over the place at these streaming platforms. And so you can get at us through that way, through the Gmail. And also, you can support the podcast on Spotify and things like that. And that's all good and it's all great. You guys have a great day, afternoon, evening, morning, whatever time it is where you are at that you are now tuned in and listening to this program. And we'll be around and we'll be in touch soon. And you have a good one. Peace.
TDK Visions Beats.
It's the Film by Excel.
TDK Visions Beats.
Beats. It's the Film by Excel.
TDK Visions Beats.